Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Your beliefs determine your destination. Your behavior determines your reward.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
If you're a Christian, you believe the Bible and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the Bible is the Word of God, and God Himself has a perfect will for you, He is the Creator, and therefore He's the owner. And if He's the owner, He has full control over the heavenly bodies down to us as little human beings. And therefore, what does that mean to us? It means to us, we are, as we talked about, stewards of what He's given to us. Now listen, stay with me, because if you miss that chain of thinking, you will miss the power and importance that you are a steward. You're responsible for your time, your treasure, your talents. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:2, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are stewards of what He's given to us. And listen, in order to be a good steward, we've got to think like, react like, and give like our owner. I just summarized for you last week's message. Then we describe what that steward is out of Luke 12. And Jesus Himself said, who is that faithful and wise steward? You know who that is? That's the person that as a good household manager, he's taken care of what God has given to him. And Paul here out of 1 Corinthians 4 moves to a second letter written, we don't have documentation about, a third letter, which we have now, called 2 Corinthians. And he, Paul, has a group of people saying to him, how come you're saying and doing what you're doing? They were critical of Paul. So Paul now, at this section of 2 Corinthians 5, continues on with his explanation. This is who I am, what I'm doing, and why I am doing this. And I would suggest to you and I today that if we have the same kind of motivations Paul had, it would put us in a place that we would have maximized our stewardship for Him. Notice, if you would, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them and look at, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where in verse 9, he said, wherefore, Paul said, we labor. He wanted to strive for what is excellent. He had this work as a steward, and he says, first of all, this was a major motivation of Paul, should be for us today. First of all, he says, it's a motivation to be accepted of God. What does that mean to be accepted of God? It's the same family terms for being well-pleasing to God. Or you could put it this way, the approval of God. Or if you want to put off in your notes another way to say this, you're looking for the smile of God. And Paul said, I'm laboring, I'm working on this earth for that time, because there's a concern to please Christ. But he not only says that, number two is, he moves on in the thought processes. And again, I'm not going to take this line by line in this text, but notice verse 9 says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Heaven was, listen, not just a destination. Some place as a Christian he was getting to, it was a motivation, because heaven's going to be a wonderful place. It was heaven. So Paul says, listen, heaven to me is, I want to see the smile of God. It is a place. But in addition to that, Paul said in verse 10, a second motivation is the hope of reward. He said it this way, we all labor that for we must all, as Christians, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, talking Christians here, may receive, underline the word receive. Because you have to understand, this is the Christian's privilege. It's not dread. This area that Paul says, listen, it's not just the smile of God, but along with that, he was well aware there's a hope of reward here. When he says we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, this is not a judgment of whether you are saved or not. The idea of a bema seat. Maybe I can explain it this way. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to take just a moment, expand this, and we'll conclude. You see, the judgment of sinners is dealing with redemption, but this judgment of saints is not dealing with our sin. And I want to reiterate it, because if you miss this, you will go through life continually thinking, I want to keep doing good works, because if I keep doing good works, eventually, God, you're going to be impressed. Your beliefs determine your destination. Your behavior determines your reward. So if you get that mixed up, you have totally missed all of it. I find some people, I could give you multiple illustrations. A while ago, talking to somebody, they grew up in a church in which they were taught, I keep doing all these things that eventually I can get to heaven. I can't know for sure, but eventually when I get to heaven, that God will realize all the good works I've did and all the church I've done and all the things I gave and even my background and my mom and dad, all of that will help me to stand before God. And they had heard other people say, no, your works don't get you to heaven. And they would look at it and say, well, see, they're getting mixed up in scripture between James and Romans. And so, therefore, really, I want to keep doing those good things. Then they come to the point where they realize, you know what? My works are not good enough ever to get me to heaven. The works of righteousness are sinful rags. But I find some people that realize, you know what? It is found in Christ. In Christ. Man, there's this huge freedom. But if they're not careful, eventually as they walk along their walk with God, they slowly start slipping back and mentally start thinking, yeah, but I just in case I'll keep doing all this good stuff because, you know, that'll assure it all up. And the reality is it's not, because the judgment of sinners will someday be because of their sin. But once a person comes to Christ, and that judgment for the saints is not about redemption, it is about rewards. It's not about sin being examined. It's about my service being examined. And he talks now not about the fire of hell, but the fires of heaven. They're going to test us. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul expands this thought, because now we're not talking about testing your belief and your trust. We're talking about testing your behavior and the very treasure in which, what did you do with your wealth and your time and your energy while you're on this earth? He said it this way in 1 Corinthians 3, and the people there in 2 Corinthians realized it. Verse 13, can I give you these three observations quickly? One of them is verse 13. He said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He is talking about Christians here, and what he's saying is it's a day of revelation. Every man's work will be made manifest. It'll be revealed by fire. You see, the beam evaluation is not a position about our position in the family as sons. It's about our performance in the family as stewards. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation, them that are in Christ Jesus. But there will come a time with you and I as Christians, we're going to stand before God, and God's going to reveal every man's work, and it's going to make manifest, it's going to reveal, and he's going to reveal by fire. Somehow, in some way, in that analogy that Paul uses, is our works will be wood, hay, stubble, or precious jewels and stones and precious metals, that what I do will make a difference for eternity. And that's why I said last week, listen, it's not just scriptural. It's smart to do things for future in the name of Christ with the right motivation. I want to have the smile of God, but I'm also aware of the hope of reward, that I'm not just investing, but I'm divesting it for future reference. And Paul said, listen, you are going to be tested about that. He says, secondly, it is a day of rewards. Verse 14, he shall receive a reward. He's going to receive a reward. He's going to end up being benefited for that time on this earth that I've said no to certain things and yes to certain things and sacrificially given to certain things, because God, I believe in the harvest and I believe there's someday there's going to be reward for that. I'm doing it in your name because I want to have that smile on your face. I want to do it because there's a hope of reward and knowing as well. However, Paul says in verse 15, for those men whose work abide, which he's built, he'll receive reward. But if any man's work will be burned, he'll suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Jude 13 says it this way. Old Testament reference, Zechariah 3:2, like a brand plucked from the fire. In other words, when I'm doing things, when he says I'm receiving, this point right here, unfortunately, gets misunderstood. And there are more Christians that are driven by guilt and shame than they're driven by love and approval. I would suggest to you that Paul's whole context in 2 Corinthians 5 and this one as well, he's just stating the facts. There's going to be some that are going to regret. Their things are not going to be necessarily taken away as much as opportunities to reveal that they've missed opportunities. They've missed opportunities. They had opportunities to do things on this earth. They were prompted by the Spirit of God to give. They were prompted to help that person. They were prompted to take that family and help them along because they didn't have the wherewithal. And they decided, I'm too busy. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I've got too many things of my own. I've got my own agenda. I got to keep forward on all these financial goals I've got. And they didn't do those things. And someday when they stand before God, there's going to be a day of regrets because they're going to realize, you know what? I had opportunities and I didn't do it. I'll give you a simple illustration. A number of years ago, my cousin lives in Portland, Oregon, moved up to Seattle. We were up there visiting at a pastor's meeting. I had the opportunity to go by my wife and I, visit with Trina and Rick. And she said, "You like coffee, Marty?" I said, "Man, I love coffee." She said, "I got some coffee. I'm going to make it for you." So she made this coffee. It was really strong, very good. She said, "Tomorrow it's going on stock on the open market. You need to get some." "Really?" "Yeah, this stuff's going to go wild. I mean, this is going to hit big." She says, "You need to get some." I didn't want to tell her. It's like, you know, I didn't have this huge financial portfolio, so it wasn't like I had these huge funds. I'm just going to shift over to that. So I just said, "Well, I don't know. I didn't know much about it." I said, "Pfft." So the next day it went on stock. Starbucks. How many of you have heard of Starbucks coffee? That's the coffee that she gave to me. I look back now and think, missed opportunity. You know, "Hey, you have Starbucks?" "Yeah." Look, the point is, listen, I'm saying why I'm saying this. I'm going to move on. Because some of you, God prompts you in your actions to do certain things as a Christian. And when you end up not obeying, God's only giving you opportunities. Man, invest. If for no other reason, I believe in the harvest, there's going to be reward. I want to do that because of the smile of God. I want to do it because there's a hope of reward. Because ultimately, when we stand before God, everything that is right is going to pay off enormously. And everything that is wrong and missed opportunity is going to seem so incredibly stupid. What was I thinking? That's why Paul, who had been to heaven and back, saying, "Listen, I'm going to tell you what motivates me. What motivates me is the approval of God, the smile of God. And what motivates me is not this dread, but this privilege. We get to stand before God. It's the bema seat. It's this 6-foot-high judgment seat. Primarily not judicial, but for recognition of those athletes. This is not about whether you're in the family of God or not, or on the team athletically. These were athletes that would show up, and city officials would recognize these folks with laurel wreaths. I cannot do enough to help motivate you to realize, listen, my friend, you are living in a world in which it's not going to last. And when you do things for eternity, as Paul did, he said, "Listen, I'm happy with that. It's not just scriptural, it's smart, because he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him."
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.